Time to check in with Amanda Lang. She is host of Taking Stock, which airs Friday evening at 6 o'clock on BNN Bloomberg and also here, of course, on the iHeartRadio network. So we take a look at our business brief this week. And Amanda, the big story, of course, remains the Bank of Canada hiking interest rates, eighth one in a row. Look, we knew this one was coming. I think we talked last Friday. Everyone had pretty much expected, unlike perhaps in the past, that it would only be a quarter point rate hike. I wonder, though, if as important as this is, because obviously it changes borrowing for everybody who is owing money, was it as important to hear the banks say that it is now considering a pause?
I think that's true. I mean, basically, the bank is acknowledging that they've done eight hikes in a row. The pace of hikes is without precedent, really. So that's really set people back. And they're now saying, let's see how this plays out in the economy. They are also, though, saying if they don't get what they want, which is inflation really rapidly cooling, they will raise again. So a little bit of a warning there. We've got to keep an asterisk on the hold. But they're saying we're likely going to pause here. And what I think people should remember is, of course, sort of obvious, but that is we're not going straight up and straight down. We're going to hold at this plateau. So if your mortgage is really expensive right now, if your loans got more expensive, unfortunately, they're going to stay that way for months and months to come until inflation actually starts cooling and the bank feels like it has room to maneuver.
So now how do you manage your credit issues then, given that this is the scenario we're in for at least a couple of months, even if they decide not to hike next month?
Yeah, so the big one for a lot of people will be mortgages that are hitting what we call their trigger rates. You need to be negotiating with your bank. Don't wait for them to reach you. If you have concerns, if you're thinking about, you know, what you're paying and how much, you can actually change some of the terms. You can extend it. You could start paying a little bit less now to pay more later. There's some flexibility you can give yourself, and it's better to reach out to your lender before your lender's banging down your door because you're late. On some of your other debts, that's where we get into actually allocating our spending differently, right? Your credit card company is not going to negotiate with you. They don't do that. But so we actually have to figure out how to change our spending. That's painful. Unfortunately, the bank kind of acknowledged this week that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a slowdown in the spending, a slowdown in business activity, maybe even layoffs. So that comes with real human costs.
I wish you could see me scribbling this down as someone who has a mortgage coming up for renewal. I'm like, okay, all right, Amanda said do this. So let's talk about the impact that the hiked rates have on the labor market and the fact that job vacancies went down in 2.4% in November. I'm guessing that's kind of normal before the holidays, but is that still encouraging?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we've been watching this super tight labor market, and we did see the vacancies tick down a little bit, not enough to be really meaningful. We've still got a vacant position for every 1.2 unemployed person. Recently, it was one unemployed person. So it's not really a statistically meaningful number, but it's moving in the right direction if you want to see a little more looseness in the labor market. That tightness has been why we've been kind of sure it's not going to be a real wipeout of a recession, right? If we're not all going to lose jobs, then we won't really be devastated the way you would if your mortgage went through the roof and you lost your income. So it's a good sign, but it does give the bank a bit of a problem, because if we don't lose our jobs and our incomes and the economy stays ticking along okay, it may not achieve what it wants the way it wanted, which is an unpleasant thing. But it needs the economy to cool a little bit, and that tight labor market says may not cool as much as they think.
So what's the Bank of Canada looking for in that scenario as an ideal sort of reaction to in the jobs market anyway?
I don't think they would say. We do have historically what you would call the economists call naturally occurring rates of unemployment. We are below those levels right now in our unemployment level. So I think they'd like to I hate to say they'd like to see it, right? Nobody wants to see it. But economically speaking, if you saw unemployment ticking back up to sort of 5.5-6%, that's more in a range where you might see some looseness from the bank. Having said that, it may be different this time. Something may have shifted a little bit. We've got massive amounts of immigration to factor into the economy in the years ahead. So who knows what the bank can look at to see those prices come down. And let's not forget, a lot of inflation is imported, right? It's globally driven. So it may have nothing to do with our labor market.
So we could touch on one other thing. This is a story I think that just came out this morning or possibly yesterday. The idea that rental vacancies across the country are at their lowest rate in more than 20 years. In other words, people who I guess were shut out of being able to buy a home because they become so expensive or mortgage rates have become out of control for them, they look to rent. And then we're finding out there's nothing to rent. What does this mean economically?
It's a shockingly low vacancy rate. It is, of course, means people are stuck in their rental units. People who would normally migrate or graduate into the housing market are finding it impossible at the moment. And the thing that jumped out at me, actually, is the increase in rents for people who do move. So there are obviously limits on what landlords can do if you've been in your unit. But if you're coming in fresh, they can jack the rent up. And that has gone up 18%. Yeah. So the change for people who need to move into a new rental has been extraordinary. It's really hard on some. And this is all what they call purpose-built rentals. It really points to the fact that we don't have enough of this kind of housing stock. We need more of it. And when we hear people saying, you know, we're going to build whatever it is, 3.5 million homes, I hope that they're including apartments in that, because when you, again, people graduate university or they are new to this country, a rental is their first stop, and we better have enough of that. This vacancy rate says it is going to be expensive for a while.
So as the housing market starts to ease up a bit and the interest rates eventually ease up a bit, that should ease that situation as well, should it not?
Theoretically, yes, although I mean, I hate to be a downer, but if we go back to 2019, even before the 50% run up in house prices across this country, it was pretty expensive. We were already talking about affordability issues. This has been a long-term, slow-moving problem. So I think the fastest thing we could do is actually build nice rental apartments or rental units that people want to live in and can stay in and be happy in, because that may be the situation for a lot of folks.
And that are affordable? Ha, ha, ha. I feel
and
like that's a
affordable
pipe dream.
Well, if you build enough of them, right, then the market, at 1.2%, you have no, 1.9%, you have no bargaining power with the landlord. They have all the power.
Worth pointing out. I just want to mention, as we wrap up, at the other end of the spectrum, I read a figure this week. I think that here we're talking about, you know, rental rates or rental vacancies for residential people. The office situation is completely at the other end of the spectrum. The vacancy rates have never been higher.
Absolutely. And it's funny because people have actually talked in the last year and a half about turning some of that commercial real estate space into residential space.
Yeah.
Which in some ways is very appealing. I don't know who wants to be in the middle of the floor plate of a giant downtown skyrise that's got no windows, but definitely there's some potential there. And that would be smart, right? That would be a very sustainable thing to do in terms of quick access to housing. We haven't seen it actually come to pass yet. But that's one kind of maybe low-hanging fruit to solve this problem.
All right. Amanda, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too. Great weekend.